Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Rain and Love Ministries. This is your host, Tim the Overseer. Hopefully everything is going great for you guys out there. Things are going good on this end. We're being blessed. We'll pray for the world during these times. Amen. There's a lot of things going on. Amen. I try not to announce too much stuff because I don't want people to worry. I want us to pray. That's what I want us to do, is mainly pray and not concern ourselves with the cares of the world. I'm not saying that we should ignore them or ignore people's situation, but for the most part that we should mainly pray. Our main focus, as Paul stated, Paul said to pray without ceasing. So family, make sure that we are praying for the world and some of the things that are going on out here. We don't make light of anything that's going on. I know here in Texas they're talking about lockdown again. So just pray. We know that there's an agenda at hand and at work, but make sure that we are prayerful and praying for those that have been affected. You know, I'm hearing some things out there in the world that that I've noticed that the news is not playing. And I think that's purpose, because they don't want to cause a panic, and I do understand that. But for the most part, let's just make sure that we are praying for one another, praying for those that are affected, both medically, physically, mentally, by this pandemic, financially. Make sure that we're just praying, family. Okay, so that's all I'm going to say about that. But other than that, let's go ahead and get into the show. Welcome back to Rain Love Ministries. Hopefully you've all had a blessed and wonderful week. It's been a good week for me. I am grateful to the Most High for his blessings, for everything that he's done and everything that he's doing for us. We continue to pray for those who are in need in this world, okay? So especially those that are the saints, make sure that we are praying, those that are believers, okay? So let's make sure that we are staying focused and just make sure that we do all we can for family and friends, okay?
When you've done all you can, man, seems like it's never enough. Stand, watch the Lord see you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, you just stand. Tell me, how do you handle guilt of your past? Tell me, how do you deal with the shame? And how can you smile while your heart has been broken and given your own, yeah. Seems like you can't make it through. Child, you just stand when there's nothing left to do. You just stand once the Lord sees you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, you just
moment there. So hopefully you all are praying for those that are in need in the world. As I stated, I always like to remain positive. I don't like to speak negative or focus on negative things that are going on in the world. I've always been the type of person I like to just focus on the positive. So I just pray for people and pray for situations. So with that being said, let's go ahead and move right along to the scripture. We're going to begin to Revelation, the 10th chapter today. We only will be on the air for an hour tonight because Revelation 10 is not much. It's pretty straightforward, straight to the point. There's just not a whole lot in Revelation 10. It's in particularly talking about a strong angel, this great angel, in Revelation, the 10th chapter. So What I'm going to do, since Revelation 10 wasn't much, it's really only about three scriptures in Revelation 10, or really about two or three that really just stuck out. The first one is just the introduction scripture. The other one, I think, is like verse 5, and I think 6. I think there's only just a couple of scriptures, really. The first one is just the introduction scripture. Not much in Revelation 10, so I won't be with you before you long tonight. Again, hopefully everything is going good, family. I just want to take this time out to express love and gratitude. Thank the Most High for another blessed day. Thank you for my life, my soul, my health, my strength. Thank you for all that He's done, all that He's doing, all that He's going to continue to do in our lives. We are so grateful, and I tell people all the time, this is actually a good time to be alive. We are believers, and, you know, there's a possibility that we may get to see the return of Christ. That's what we're looking for. I tell people, continually look for Him, especially talking to the believers. Don't give up. You know, look for Him. I know sometimes we kind of get sidetracked. We get weary with our day and the things that are going on, and we just kind of like just go back to regular living. So make sure that we're constantly doing what we should do and that we're sharing the word. That's the main important thing, that we're sharing salvation with others so that they may become saved. We don't want family and friends to miss the mark. We don't even want our enemies to miss it. You know, this is hopefully you don't have enemies, but we know that we do. Even as believers, we have people who don't like us or can't stand us. And it's sad that even sometimes people in the church don't like you. Isn't that sad? But, you know, nonetheless, you know, you got to move on and just continue to pray for people and move on with our lives, okay? So I just want to take this moment to express gratitude. I know here in Texas, it's been nice and hot. It kind of got cold for a little bit, but it got real hot today. And so it's kind of strange. Me and my brother was talking today. We were just talking about the weather and how the weather is, and I thought that was kind of strange how the weather's still hot. And, you know, he was just talking about, you know, the pandemic and how they were saying when it gets cold, it's supposed to get bad. Well, we hadn't, at least here in Texas, we hadn't had much of a winter at all, which is a good thing. So we just say, you know what, the Most High knows what He's doing to protect people, to try to keep this thing from Lucifer and the evil ones and the devil and his workers and his minions to try to make this thing worse. So, you know, He is always merciful. He's always a loving God. And we just say, hey, well, it's still hot because of Him. He knows what He's doing. So, you know, He never gives the devil total control. He don't have total control of anything. He can only do what the Most High say and allows Him to do, okay? So, family, with that being said, I'm glad that you're back for another Daily Bread message of Doctors of the End Time Things. And next week we're going to have a special guest, so make sure that you tune in next week. We're going to be on the air. Now, next week we will probably be about an hour and a half. We're going to have Elder Minister Bazaar on the show next week. I'm very excited for that. I'm so glad and thankful that he agreed to come on. And I'm going to have him to talk about the 70 weeks and how the 70 weeks fits into the tribulation, how it works with the end times and the mark of the beast and Christ and the church. And so that, I think that was just in the children of Israel. I thought that was so neat how he broke it down. I heard him one time on his show. I listened to him. And also we've done some shows together, and I just think it was just so beautiful how he broke it down. We never really went into that when I was in school. You know, we hit around certain chapters and certain assignments and certain subjects. But the 70 weeks was one that never really just got deep into it to study or read much on. I've read it. I actually have a small section of my book on it. Just never took the time out to really go deep into it and study it. So I can see right now I'm going to have to go a little bit deeper. But I love the way the brother breaks it down and brings it to us, and he's going to help us on next week, Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 o'clock East Coast Time, and 4 p.m. if you're on Pacific Standard Time in the West Coast. He's going to break down that message of the 70 weeks for us next week. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and dive into Revelation 10. We're probably going to end up talking about more about salvation, just some other things about Revelation, because as I stated, it's just not much, okay? So, you know, we're probably going to finish this thing quick. I really could finish it in 30 minutes, but, you know, we're going to try to push it to the hour as much as we can, because, again, there's just not much to say about Revelation 10. It's straight to the point, and it's mainly talking about an angel in which he gives the book to John. And, okay, so if you remember in the past, there's some things that I'm going to bring up that I've actually mentioned in the past, which shows up in Revelation
the 10th chapter where I dropped out was pretty neat. Okay, so let's go ahead and read Revelation 10 and 1, and let's see what it says. And Jonah said, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." Amen. All right, so we know that we talked about Revelation, how Revelation is a symbolic book. We know that some of these things are symbolic. What John saw, he gave us the Revelation, the book of Revelation, and we have to interpret. Now, there are some things that we can interpret as literal, but there's most is probably symbolic. Now, one thing I noticed about Revelation 10 and 1, it says, "And I saw another." So, mighty angel. So John signifies, he basically, the description that he gives of this angel kind of separates him. He's, in other words, he's just not any angel. He's a mighty angel. He's a great angel in the kingdom of heaven. And he said that, he said, "I saw another," and I'm not saying that all the angels are not great, all of them are not mighty, but we know that angels have ranks, just like, you know, sometimes people in the army have ranks, right? So we know that angels are what? The Bible interprets angels as messengers of Yahweh, of the Most High. And so John said, "I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with the cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head." Now, some, when I was studying this, some speculated that they believe this is Christ. I don't believe this is Christ. I'm going to tell you why, because one, remember we always say we interpret Scripture with Scripture. It's not Christ because Christ is not an angel. Right, he's the Son of the Most High. Okay, another reason, but I kind of see some of the symbolic description of the angel, how some would kind of somewhat reference him to Revelation, the first chapter. If you go back and read the description of Christ, we know that in Revelation 1 that is Christ, because John says this is Christ, right? And so it kind of had the similar description of this angel kind of coincide a little bit. It's similar to Christ, okay. And also it talks about the rainbow. We know that the Most High has a rainbow about his throne, right? And so it's something about the rainbow, okay? And we know some that have taken the rainbow and basically made it their banner, and they're going to pay for that. You know, they're mocking the Most High, is the way I look at it, being smart. And, you know, it's like, wow, they would actually choose the rainbow. The rainbow is actually a good thing, you know. A lot of people think that. I remember they used to make those rainbow shirts when I was a kid. I don't think they make them anymore. If they do, probably have to go online and shop for them. I hadn't seen them in stores in many, many years. But anyway, the rainbow, we believe, means some type of there's something about the rainbow, okay? It can mean something like peace. It can mean several different things. We won't speculate too much on it. But we see that this angel, which we know is not Christ, has a rainbow also, right? Because the rainbow is upon his head. So that rainbow has to have a great significance. I'll let you do your research and study on that, on what the rainbow means to you or what it means. But it has significance. I saw somewhere where it means peace. And also I remember that the Most High Yahweh made an agreement with mankind after he flooded the earth that he would never flood the earth. So he made a covenant, man. He made a promise to man that he would never do that. So that rainbow, it means something great among the heavenlies, okay, but with the heavenly family, okay? So, and also it talks about, and his face was as it were the sun. Well, we know about Christ and how his countenance is, and also the Heavenly Father. Isn't this something how the angels, how they're basically similar to in power and just who they are as far as when you see them to the Heavenly Father? It just makes sense, right, that you can't look upon the Heavenly Father. You know, John said that his face was as sun's. Now, you know, you can't really look at the sun and it hurts your eyes, right? And so this angel has such a spiritual, holy glow about him that it was like his face was like, as it were the sun. And it said, and his feet as pillars of fire. And we know when John described Christ in Revelation 1, he talked about how Christ, his feet as if they burn in a what furnace, as they burn in the fire. Same thing here with this angel, and I can kind of see how some would interpret and come to the thought of the conclusion that this would be the Christ himself. Now, I totally use Scripture to interpret Scripture, and you have to be careful with Revelation because it's a very symbolic book. I don't believe that this is Christ because he said that I saw another mighty angel. We know that Christ is not another mighty angel. So this is not Christ. This is an angel in heaven, which has to have some type of authority or rank in the heaven, right? Verse 2. Let's take a look at verse 2. Do I have any more? I didn't do too many scriptures. Now, I actually only done one because, like I said, Revelation 10 is just straight to the point. So the only reference that I did was Ezekiel, the first chapter 28, which if you go there, you'll see how Ezekiel, the same thing, the rainbow, the countenance, the son, one as the son of man or one as man, that Ezekiel saw over Ezekiel, the first chapter, verse 28. In fact, I encourage you to read the whole chapter of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel is great, by the way. But you see how the similarity is, as I stated, among the heavenly hosts, how they're all kind of like the same. I think that's beautiful. Remember, well, who else is going to be part of the heavenly host? We are family. The church itself is going to be in heaven. We're going to be ruling all eternity with the heavenly Father. We're going to be right there with him, serving him and worshiping for all eternity. And also, we get to reign 1,000 years with him here on earth. That is so beautiful. Now that you are aware that the church is going to reign with Christ 1,000 years, man, I can't imagine. I can't wait. And, you know, one week me and my brother was talking. He said, you know, we were just talking about, you know, making it into heaven, how the Bible says that you will scarcely make it in. I mean, people are going to barely make it in. And the only reason that you're going to make it in is only because of Christ. Nothing that you've done, but because of what Christ does. Kind of like, it kind of reminds me of getting to a game or a concert without a ticket. You don't have a ticket to get in. And because this person pays your way to get in, that's the only way you got in is because somebody paid your way. So you barely got in, right? But that's what Christ has done for us. He paid the price. He made the ultimate sacrifice for mankind. And he has paid the way for man to get into the kingdom of heaven. I remember my brother, we were laughing the other week. He was just saying, hey, he said, if you just stood there shining the most hot toenail for all eternity, hey, at least you made it in. Thought that was a little funny. But, you know, hey, at least you made it in. You know, we know it's not what we're going to be doing, but just the mentality of that, you know what? You'd just be glad to be there. You'd just be glad that you made it into heaven. Even if you're a person that don't do much work or you believe at the last minute or whatever the situation is, you know, we just want you there. We want you to be saved because we don't want no one to be lost. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and take a look at verse 2, okay, of this of Revelation, the 10th chapter, okay? Now, we also need to understand that this is getting into the second woe that's to come, okay? We already dealt with the first woe back in Revelation, the 9th chapter. So verse 2 reads, it says, and he had in his hand a little book, open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the amen. Okay, so you know, this signifies power, you know, that this angel has some type of authority, right, on the surface of the earth is what I'm trying to say, also the land and what the sea. He actually set his foot on the sea. He didn't, not in the water, on the sea. Now, remember, the power that these angels have is Christ-like heavenly power, right? Now, we know the ultimate power comes from who? Yeshua, the Christ. And you see, remember when Christ walked on the water? I thought this was neat in the reference on how this angel set his foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, okay? So I believe that his foot was actually on the sea, not in the sea, upon the sea, like he said, on top of the sea. Because it says upon the sea because we know most of the time, if you and I try to walk on water, if we don't have the faith, and we can't do, not saying we can't do it, but if you don't have enough faith, you'll sink, rather you just fall right on into the ocean, right? And so we look at this angel having this power. Remember, he is a what? Mighty angel. And verse 3 says, and cry with a loud voice as when a lion roared. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Amen. Now watch this about the seven thunders. I want to take a look at verse 3 real quick. It says that the lion roared. Again, some people believe this is Christ in reference to the tribe or the line of Judah. Again, I just really don't believe this is Christ because of the language. I don't believe it's Christ. It says another strong, mighty angel or a mighty angel. So So this is not Christ, okay? This is an angel with the reins of heaven. Amen. But he just used the symbolic loudness and the power of his voice. Because that's why I think of a lion. When a lion roars, is his power. And you see the power here that this angel has when he speaks, right, with a loud voice. And he, when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And it says in verse 4, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. Now, remember me saying some time ago, it's been some months probably, I know I can't quite remember exactly when, but I've told you in the past that there are some things in Revelations that is not revealed to us. There are things in Revelation that we don't even know what's going to happen. And this is why I say you don't want to be here and left behind when Christ comes back to get the church. You cannot prepare for what's happening, the wrath and the punishment that the Most High is going to take out on the unbelievers. We talked about that last week in Revelation, the 9th chapter, I believe it was the 15th verse, when we talked about how those angels were loose and how they're going to slay a third part of the unbelievers. And it just amazes me how people don't want to serve Christ and believe, and they want to serve and run to Satan. Satan can't stand you. He don't even like you. He's just tricking you and fooling you to serve him and worship him. He wants to be a God like the Most High. He is not the God. He can't be nothing close to our God. He's a fake, false, and a phony. And he just got these people fooled just to give them some trinkets here on earth for this time that we live in. They're so fooled by what Lucifer is doing that they're going to be happy just to receive these life trinkets here on earth, right? And they're going to sell their soul to Lucifer. And what's going to happen? Lucifer's going. They're going to find in the end that Lucifer has fooled them and tricked them. And really, he hasn't fooled or tricked them. They're just being naive and thinking of themselves and want to be selfish and rebellious, and that's what they want. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to pay for it. They're going to pay for it with their very own soul. Their souls are going to be lost, and they're going to perish in the lake of fire for all eternity. And I think that's something very sad that people are going to do. Is basically sell their soul to Lucifer, you know, when he has no power or authority. I think that's just something that just kind of bothers me at times, how people, you know, you talk to people and it's like, you know. And so this is why the Bible said that we train up children the way they should go, so when they get older, they won't depart, right? All right. We're talking about the seven thunders uttered their voices. And it says, when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Amen. So it's not good to spiritual speculate. I know sometimes I spiritual speculate, but the Bible is silent on something. Spiritual speculation, that's when you don't speculate, okay? You know, we all give our best opinion. Here there is no opinion because we don't know. The Bible said that John didn't write. He told John not to write, right? That's what the angel said. He says, seal up those things which the seven thunders utter and write them not. Don't write, John. And if you kind of remember, Daniel was the same situation. He was commanded not to write, to be silent, to be quiet on this. It's a secret. Nobody knows until the time is going to be revealed at that time when it happens, okay? Verse 5 says, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore, amen, by him that liveth forever and ever. Who is he talking about? Who is this strong angel talking about? He's talking about Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, amen, is who he's talking about. And he says, who created heaven? That's how we know he's talking about Christ, right? Because we know about that over in Colossians. Read Colossians, the first chapter. You'll find out who is the creator of all things, okay? You can find that out, right? It says, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Amen. I don't know if you remember me stating that saying in which the angel proclaimed, the great angel proclaimed in the past, that that there should be what? Time no more. I've said that before. A very powerful and profound statement that time will stop. And so and what he's saying that there's going to be a delay, right? Okay, so he's not saying at that time, but he's speaking prophetically that there should be time no more. In other words, the time is very short. Christ is getting ready to return, okay? And that's another reason why we know that this strong angel, this powerful, mighty angel is not Christ, because we know that Christ only comes back, what, at the end of the tribulation. Okay, this is still in the latter half of the tribulation, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, which I call the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation, okay? So Christ is not yet coming back, but the angel is speaking what? Prophetically, that time is going to end shortly, right? When Christ comes back. Now, when Christ comes back, is the world going to end? Is time going to end right there and then? No. The angel is saying that in a certain amount of time, that where we know that the world is going to end. In other words, we know for a fact when Christ comes back how much time is left on this earth. It's going to be 1,000 years left on this earth when Christ returns with the church, with the believers, with the saints, and with the angels. He's going to come back, and we're going to reign with him 1,000 years. And, you know, so it will be a mystery no more about time, okay? Give me one brief moment, all right? Give me one moment. I'm just going to take a little quick interlude here for about, give me about 1 minute interlude, okay? Thank you. All right, thank you for that little break. Amen. All right, so now we're back, okay? And we're going to continue where we are. We are in verse 6, okay? We said that verse 5 and 6 are some good verses. We're going to come back and look at some things from these past verses that we just took a look at, 4, 5, and 6. We talked about the seven thunders up in verse 4. And so this is the first occurrence of the seven thunders, which John was what? He was forbidden to write down what they had said. What was the seven thunders about, okay? And so this is the first instance of John's vision that was sealed, was not revealed to us, as we know, according to the book of Revelation, as we've been studying these past months. This is the first time that John has been silenced and said, hey, you know what? Don't reveal this information, okay? Be silent on this. Don't write anything. Don't even let the church know what the seven thunders are going to utter. Now, the good thing about it is that we won't have to suffer because, again, as I stated time and time again, we will not be here, okay? All right, okay, so we won't be, which is a blessing. So now, again, it's not good to speculate spiritually on it, so we're just going to leave it alone. But we're thankful for the Most High for at least giving us this information, okay? And so we're going to move forward, okay? So let's see what it says, okay? Verse 7, it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of Yahweh should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Amen, okay? And so we think about the prophets, the people of the past. We think about the people who are going to be the two prophets at that time, the people in the world at the time who are sealed, who are going to be the 144,000, and the saints that are going to be during the tribulation and great tribulation. Amen. So we know, we think about this great mystery. And remember, we talked about the mystery. Remember, and I always say this, behold, I show you a mystery, in which Paul talked about when dealing with the return of Christ to get the church. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not what? All sleep, which means that not everyone is going to be dead as the believers when Christ comes back to get the church. Some will actually be alive and remain, will be caught up to heaven. And we talked about that word mystery and how that word mystery is usually talked about as a secret, right? Because that's what it means. It's a secret. And so what it means is it's also a secret to those who what? Who are unbelievers, right? But we see in this instance that when we talked about the seven thunders, is now it's a mystery and a secret to everyone that are even believers and unbelievers. So even us as believers, this great mystery is not revealed. Now, there have been some things that have been revealed to those that what? Believe, okay? But this particular thing, these seven thunders, we have no knowledge about. We don't even know. We can't even imagine what it's going to be. You know, a lot of times I think about, like, man, what could those seven thunders be? But, you know, amen, it's for us as believers, especially now at this day and time in the church age, it's just really just not something that, you know, that we should just bother ourselves about so much, because, again, it's not going to affect us. In fact, we know that all the tribulation, especially the latter 3.5 years, is not going to affect the believers. Amen. Okay. Only those that that are sealed, you know, will escape the punishment and the wrath of Christ or the Lamb. Okay. All right. So verse 8 says, "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stand upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." Amen. And let's just go ahead and read out the verses. We'll come back and we'll have a little discussion about Revelation 10. We'll close it out with salvation, okay? It says, "And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." Amen. So the angel basically was speaking of who? John, and through John to the who? Church. So he was telling John what John was going to do personally, and that his message was going to go not just for him and the people that he spoke to, right, many peoples and nations, but also his word, what he taught, the book of Revelation, as we see now, we're still speaking on it, goes out to what? Many peoples and many nations, even until today, until the return of Christ. This was a great prophecy. And so what he meant, now we know that John didn't actually literally eat the book. I remember when I was young, I used to really kind of think that. So while I read this, I mean, this little book that I still have that my dad has about Revelation, you know, and my dad used to talk about how the angel told John to eat the book. Well, that was only symbolic. He wasn't really literally eating the book, right? You don't think that would be good for us to eat a book, right? Amen. But he was saying, in other words, to digest it. Amen. And that's what we do when we read and study, where we digest it. We're eating the word, right? And then we speak it back out through our mouths. Amen. We prophesy, we speak, we teach the word, we minister the word, we preach the word, right? And we see that message of John still going forward powerful today, saving souls. And it said that the word should be what? Let's go back and see what it says. It says, "And it was in my mouth sweet as honey," because the word, we know it is sweet. I remember I told one of my all-time favorite songs was Sweet Honey in the Rock. Amen. Because it is. The word is sweet. You know, it's sweet to know that we have eternal life. We're going to live for all eternity. It's going to be sweet to know that we won't have to suffer anymore, any pain, stress, suffering. We won't have to work anymore. We'll be living for all eternity. We won't hurt. We won't have to deal with this life anymore. Okay, you won't have to deal with a lot of things that we deal. We have to deal with the loss of loved ones. If you and your loved ones are saved, you'll be with them for all eternity. No more death. No more sin. This is what makes the word sweet, and this is what the angel was saying. This is what John was saying. He said, it was sweet in my mouth as what? Honey. Right. That's right. So it's sweet. So even when we speak the word, it's sweet, right? When I'm telling you about salvation and don't miss the glory battle training, I'm teaching you this thing, it's sweet. It's sweet to know that we as a church won't be here then the tribulation or the great tribulation. It's sweet to know that, right? But then it says, just as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Amen. But we know that there are some bitter things, right? And it's some realities. Some realities is that if our loved ones, amen, sometimes we have to preach fire and brimstone, amen. My dad You say that back in the day when I was little, fire and brimstone, amen. He was a fire and brimstone preacher. If you don't get it right, amen, the consequences is die. You're going to lose your soul for all eternity, amen. It's not really bitter for us, but it can be bitter if we have loved ones that don't want to change, or friends, or people that we love and care about dearly. Excuse me, amen. That can be bitter, and it is bitter, you know, to know people have passed on and knew that they was out in the world and want nothing to do with the church. There are people who proclaim that type of stuff. I don't want nothing to do with that. I don't believe in that junk. I don't believe in that hocus pocus and smokes and mirrors, as they love to say at this day and time. That's bitter, okay? And it is bitter. Just it was in his belly as what? Bitter. It makes you, what, sick to your stomach sometimes to hear people say things like that. I witness the people and hear people say things like, I don't want to do with that. I don't need God, or because of their status and who they are and what they thought. You know, people become like that. They get a reprobate mind. They get arrogant. They feel like they don't need Christ. They don't need the word. Amen. That's a very sad thing. That's what makes it bitter to your belly. It makes it make you sick to your stomach to hear people talk like that and to turn their back and want nothing to do with the church or Christ Yeshua himself or the Heavenly Father or the Holy Spirit. And so that's what John was saying. That's what he's dealing with in Revelation, the 10th chapter, okay? And he says in verse 11, says, and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people. Now, we know that John was already doing ministries, but he had prophesied. See, remember, John was locked up, right? But he had prophesied that this message that was given to John through Christ and from Christ the Lamb was going to go forth, and it was going to touch many peoples and many nations, not just for him personally, but just through the word, just through the book of Revelation itself. And it says what? And it says, and tongues and kings. In other words, it's not going to be any excuses, right? No matter what language you speak, right, the word is going to get to you. Okay, now we see this happening today, how the world is opening up, and now we can minister on the internet and radio on the airwaves. We can get it out, the word out to many people, tongues and nations, and also kings. What that means is leadership, kingship, leadership. Okay, leadership is going to hear. Everyone's going to get a chance at salvation. They're going to get an opportunity to receive salvation. It won't be an excuse when you stand before the great judge, as I've told people before. You know, this is not going to be a mistake, okay? There is no way to escape this thing called salvation. Okay, I've said it time and time again that people really think and believe that they're going to escape salvation and think that they're going to be able to get away from salvation. It's just not possible. There's no way around it. You know, you're going to be judged. You have to stand before the great judge. And if you're one of the ones that choose not to repent, or if you choose not to give your life over to Christ, that's the main thing. You must give your life to Christ. You know, Christ said, he that acknowledges the Father must acknowledge him. And so that's the only way you're going to receive salvation is through Christ. He said, no one come to the Father but by me. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Amen. That is the what? Plan of salvation, okay? And so we see this book, the scroll, right? And so the scroll contains the information that John has shared with us, right? Which is what? The punishments and judgments of things to come, right? We know that people are lost to hell and to the lake of fire if they don't change their lives, amen. We see people time and time again. We were once lost, amen. We don't look down on anyone. We don't. That's why I say I don't want nobody to be lost because, man, I remember when I was in the world, even though I was raised in church, I was still of the world. I decided, hey, this is not what I want to do. I was raised in church. I felt like I had enough of hearing this word and preaching and things of this nature. I'll tell you, my dad was a pastor, and my mom played the piano in the church. And so, you know, as you grow older, you kind of get this mentality that, man, you know, especially now I was trained up in church, but I was never taught the plan of salvation when I was younger, amen. And that's why it's important that we do teach the plan of salvation to children at an early age. We teach them Romans 10, 9, and 10. In fact, it should be a bedtime story to your children. when you're reading bedtime stories, if you're bored and you want to put them to sleep, read them the Bible. Teach them about Christ. That's what it means to train them up. Train them to be saved at a very young age so they'll never depart. When they do hit 21 years of age, they'll never have to worry about their soul, which is very, very important when we come talking about salvation. So this is a very, very important thing. So this is what we want to focus on when we come talking about salvation to our loved ones and to our children. We don't want to make light of salvation. It is a very, very important thing, the most important thing to anyone's soul, because why? We don't want nobody to be lost. Amen. So this is why we preach salvation. This is why I teach salvation. This has been my call in ministry for the past 20 years. And I've come to understand early on in my salvation, my first couple years of salvation, that love is the key. Love is the symbol, and it is the signature of salvation. It lets us know that you are saved. Love lets you know that people are saved. I'm talking about true love. When people speak of Christ, Christ always said, if anyone comes on my behalf or speak on my behalf, he is ours, right? He's one of us, right? So, we can't confess Christ unless we believe. If we don't believe, we can't confess Christ, because that's the only way that you can do it is if you have salvation, okay? So we see this little book, the scroll that John had eaten, right? Okay? We see that, and so we talked about the things and the effects that it has, and this was mainly one of them, the plan of salvation, that if thou shalt what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Yeshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made, amen, unto salvation. Okay, amen. So I know we kind of jump right into the scriptures tonight. I had to. We had a little interlude there with the music earlier. Like I said, I was hoping you was praying and just in the spirit for those who have been affected by the world and this pandemic that we are dealing with. We just see things just happening and just make you shake your head, but we know that there's another hand at play. Don't worry about it. All I can tell you is continue to pray. Live your life as saints. Make sure you're keeping safe. You're keeping your loved ones safe. Make sure you're keeping distance, because we don't know where this evil thing is or where it spawned it. We know we already know who's behind it. We know that. But we also know what? Who has the victory? Christ has the victory. Amen. We know who has the victory. Christ has the victory. Okay? So just wanted to share that with you, that part. But next week, we're going to take a break from Revelation. We will continue Revelation, the 11th chapter, after the 24th of October, which will be what some folks call Hallow Eve or Halloween. People celebrate the Day of the Dead. That is a real thing. I didn't really know if that was a real thing, but apparently it is. So make sure, family, that you're staying safe. I've never celebrated. The funny thing about it is I never went trick-or-treating. I never got to put on the costume as a kid. I guess I see why now. But I never did. My other brothers and family went, but I never did trick-or-treat. I never did. I just didn't want to do it. But make sure that we're praying. Make sure you guys are staying safe out in the world. If you're going out to do these things, just make sure that you are careful and that you're prayerful with your loved ones and that you're staying safe, okay? Again, next week we're going to have Minister Elder Bazaar is going to be on the air with me next week. We'll probably be an hour to an hour and a half. I'll give him the floor, and I'll probably just ask a few questions just for clarifications. That's all, just for my learning, because I'm going to what I'm going to do this week, I'm going to spend some time looking in my guide, my educational book about the 70 weeks, and see if I get some knowledge. So when I come on, I have some more knowledge about the 70 weeks. I think the brother did a excellent job breaking that down, because I've never heard it broke down that way. And I was like, okay, wow, I never heard that, never knew that. And so I just thought that was just such a blessing. So make sure you tune in with us next week so you'll know about the 70 weeks and how we get to the 7-year period, how it's calculated for the tribulation. the 7 years and Daniel's prophecy on the 70 weeks. Again, I'm going to have Minister Elder Bazaar on the air next week, next Saturday evening, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. East Coast, and 4 p.m. if you're on West Coast Pacific time. Make sure you tune in next week, and then we will go back and continue the study of Revelation over in on October the 31st, okay? And I know I've been talking about probably shortening the shows because I'm condensing Revelation as I go, and so I should be able to give you the information within an hour. If I have to go over an hour, we may not go much more of an hour, but a majority of what I've had to say, because now we're in the latter parts of Revelation. And you know what's funny about it? After this month, we'll be halfway done because there's 22 chapters, I believe. Take a look. Yes, 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. So it'll be official that we've made it halfway through. So that's such a blessing. So that's all glory to the Most High. Yeah, 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. After this month, we've been made halfway through the book of Revelation. So, family, I thank you all for listening. We're about to get ready to shut it down here in a minute. We still got about 8 more minutes left. Again, probably won't need the full 8 minutes. As I stated to you, you know, the book of Revelation is a symbolic book. Chapter 10 was just one of those chapters, kind of similar to some of the chapters I've taught them. I think I had like one or two other chapters that was like, it was just not much information. I was like, wow, this is just pretty straight to the point. And even, you know, no matter where I went, you know, the books that I studied, there just wasn't much information on Revelation 10. It was just this mighty angel giving John the book. He was commanded to give John the book. John ate the book. Amen. In other words, he digested the book. Amen. Which is believed to be about it was given to him by Christ, right? And it was about what? The things to come at that time, the punishments and judgments of Christ. Amen. Okay. So with that being said, let's see if I have any more information. If not, we're going to probably get ready to shut it down here at the 5 minutes 10. We're going to go ahead and get ready to shut it down. Okay. So just trying to make sure, according to my notes, that there was anything else that I didn't want to share with you before I get ready to shut it down. I think there was one more thing that I want to talk about, but it was in my book. Yeah, I think I do. Hold on one brief moment. Amen. Yeah, there we go. I got it bookmarked. This is probably something I've already covered, but I just want to make sure. Let's see. Amen. And I think one of the other things was that the sixth trumpet. I'm trying to look at my book here. I think it was the sixth trumpet that contained the seven thunders, which I thought was amazing because, you know, it was something that John was not able to share, because the angel told him not to. But if I'm not mistaken, yeah, it's, let me look at my book. I think it was within the, because we're in, okay, so no, the sixth trumpet is already sent. I think it was contained in the sixth trumpet. I read that. But I'll clarify here in a few weeks for you if I need to go back and clarify that. But pretty much we've covered that. What we have left is the seven bowls. Yeah, because we did cover the seven trumpets, which were, I think some of them are contained, but we'll clear it up, because what I'm going to do, and I'll share this before I close out, is that this is a study that I'm going to continue, even after the book of Revelation, because the information that I have is a lot of information, and it's so amazing, in that the information that's out there that's available to us about the book of Revelation. So I will actually go back in the future, and I'll be able to actually dig deep. And so instead of us just going, I'm just right now I'm just giving you an outline of Revelation, and then we'll be more specific with the seven seals. Like I may just do a show on the seven trumpets or the seven bowls, and then we'll kind of break it down a little bit more, because there's so much information, and you can just see how these things that are just going on in the world and how they kind of line up. Like last week, I gave you the example of how it's not that way now, but like about a month ago, we kind of noticed there was a haze in the evening time. You can see it in the day, but mainly in the evening time, it kind of got like it was kind of a haze in the air. They said it was because of the fires that were going on in California, I think in Colorado as well. So we just kind of, it just puts you in the imagination of how things are going to be when the Bible talks about in Revelation 9, the dark smoke that's going to come up from that pit. And we know that that's just, this is like I said, this stuff is a light that this is, I hate to say it, this is patty cake stuff. This is cupcake stuff we deal with compared to what Revelation, the tribulation and also the last 3.5 years, which I call the Great Tribulation, is going to take place on earth. It's going to be unimaginable. But family, that's pretty much it. I don't really have much more to say. So we're going to go ahead and shut it down. I'm just going to say this real quick. Remember Romans 10:9-10. If you hadn't accepted Christ as your Savior, or if you want to know how to just save others in your circle, whether they be family, friends, loved ones, enemies, just people you minister to, make sure that you mention Romans 10:9-10, which is the plan of salvation. I see so many people out here ministering now. There are ministries shooting up everywhere. And it's funny to me, but there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. As long as they're teaching the truth and teaching the word, I'm all for it because we need it as much as possible at this day and time. But remember that you are teaching people about the plan of salvation. And what that means is that you tell people exactly how to get saved. Don't give them all this great information, but then leave out how to get saved. It's almost like taking somebody to a game and not having a ticket for them. They can't get in. It's great that they got all this information, but you can't get in if you don't have your ticket, right? So we want to make sure we're preaching salvation. We teach them, you know, that you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. He died for your sins, pretty much, because you'd be shocked and surprised how many people are speaking and using the Bible and teaching from it, but they don't teach salvation. They don't teach Christ. Those are hirelings. Those are false prophets. There are people out here without nothing but money. They don't care about people's souls. They care about the day that they live in and their pockets, okay? So, family, I love you. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you all will have a blessed, wonderful week. And remember, family, stay safe and take care out there. Make sure that you're loving people, that you're showing love because the world needs it. I try to show love as much as I can, you know, so make sure we're doing the same thing. So, family, remember, thank you for listening. And remember, family, you are blessed by the best, the Most High. And remember, family, you are royalty. I am royalty, family. Until next time, stay blessed and bless the kingdom, family. And you all have a good night. Man, I love you guys. Take care.